Good morning. Okay, good morning, everyone. Since I like to start on time, it's a little after 11, so we're going to get started. So the first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. So I'd like to move approval of the agenda. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Next item is the certification of executive sessions. Mr. Clark. Jim, where are you? Oh, here you are. Sorry. Jump right into it.
Okay, I move to that. I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that the board executive session of March 7th, 2016 only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under the bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. May I also move that for the March 9th meeting and for the March 15th meeting as well.
Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item is the approval of the minutes. I move approval of the minutes for February 25th, February 25th executive session, March 7th executive session, March 10th executive session, and the March 15th executive session. So I move these minutes. There's a second. Any discussion of the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. All right, next item on the agenda is the public comments. So we'll start with Mr. Bill Orleans. Mr. Orleans.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Metro.
This board apparently does not feel constrained from continually retaining consultants. Did you miss my inaugural remark?
Yeah, you have to start over.
This board does not apparently feel constrained from continually consulting, retaining consultants to advise this board on what it should be doing. Most recently, as I understand it, the McKinsey report, an efficiency study, has been completed and delivered to the board. It's not been released to the public. I don't know why, but I have a question since that efficiency study is a predicate for what the board shortly will be approving, and that's additional alternatives to Metro Access Service, the so-called Maryland Ability Rides project, about which there has been a request for information that's been completed. And while there was discussion of it at the most recent Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, it's not yet been delivered to the subcommittee, nor the full committee, nor to the public generally. If the McKinsey study is predicate for what the board will be prospectively soon adopting, then I think it should be released to the public, and I'm requesting today that the board do so. On another matter, very quickly, on March 30th, I presume all of you have received an invitation, the Council of Governments and the Board of Trade is having, by invitation only, to 100 selected members of the establishment in the Washington metropolitan area, discussion on the future of Metro. Now, I'm realizing I'm speaking to a board which I believe meets more in executive session, committee and board, than it does in public session, but I'm actually here naively maybe to suggest that this board should not condone closed meetings on the future of Metro, and in fact should want to rally the enthusiasm of its entire ridership base and have public discussions, more public discussion on the future of Metro. And I would urge those of you, presumably all of you who received invitation, to decline it unless that meeting on March 30th is public. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next individual is Valencia Moody.
Good morning.
Hello. Again, my name is Valencia Moody, and I'm the second vice president of the National Harbor Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland, which services the blind and low vision community of Prince George's County. And speaking on behalf of our Metro Access clients within our chapter, on the subject of the current fare collection policy, the main issue is pertaining to safety, not only for the drivers, but also for the clients. Having to exchange fare outside of the vehicle exposes them to potential danger, and either party could be targeted for their knowing that there's cash available to them. Second, if a paratransit system like Metro Access is established and implemented to serve a disability community, then it needs to do that. And within our chapter alone, we have people who are living with arthritis, diabetes, undergoing infusion treatments, outpatient treatments such as dialysis, and Metro Access is a way to get to and from those appointments. And given the conditions of those medical diagnoses as well as the treatments for them, the clients may need more assistance getting to and from their vehicles. And if that's the case, then the driver's focus should be on getting their clients securely to the vehicle versus asking for their fare outside of the vehicle. And also, the third point pertains to the fare collection policy for Metro Access being separate and equal to that of the fixed route transit riders. If they're able to step on foot of their vehicle before proceeding to pay their fare, then why is that not the case for Metro Access clients? And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Our next public witness is Nakia Wallace.
Hello, my name is Nakia Wallace. I am a former member of the student chapter of the Baltimore Division of the Federation of the Blind and a former member of the Prince George's County National Harbor Chapter. What I wanted to touch bases on was disability sensitivity training, especially for the drivers. Of course, we have to have guidance with those persons of visual disability. Door-to-door service is required. Regardless of that, the actual travel from the door to the vehicle can be a little bit of an exercise, noting that most of the drivers do not have disability sensitivity training. They're not able to format or understand how to guide a person of visual disability properly. Prime example, from experience, I have been actually hit in the face by an elbow in the arm, also in the chest area, and I would have to explain properly the proper guidance and making known that there is no training for this, which is actually and should be a requirement. And for a client to get hurt, that can also fall under the lines of a liability. And a possible lawsuit. So these things should be properly addressed if we're under the watchful eye of Metro Access and we're being transported by this transit service. They should be well equipped to understand that everyone has a different type of disability, but some more specific and needs a little bit more work and safety, because we're an obligation. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. Our next public witness is Amber Woods.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Amber Woods. I'm the first vice president of National Federation of the Blind National Harbor Chapter. I also come today as a concerned citizen as myself as well. One of the biggest issues I notice is called the grandfather clause and the 3-4 fool of a mile. Also, I realized that in 2014, there was a Metro bus evaluation study, and the W13 specifically, they have realized that they do need increased hours and also weekend service. Currently, right now, there is no weekend service at all. And my understanding with the grandfather clause is wherever Metro goes, Metro Access goes. Another problem with that is that keeps people, individuals who want to live their lives and be productive citizens in the community, they cannot because of the grandfather clause. A lot of people who are grandfathered out around 2009, it's like 5 miles away from the house before they can even get services. I am lucky enough to at least get weekday services, but on the weekend, I am trapped inside my home. I cannot be a productive citizen or be productive as much as I want to be because I am trapped inside my home, and other options is not truly a real option when you're on fixed income, which a lot of clients are. I wanted to bring awareness to maybe to revise the grandfather clause because I feel like others had told me it's not ADA compliant for the lack of services that are going on right now. So please, I just want you guys to realize that a lot of people want to go to church or at least be, you know, go to volunteer services in the community, just like with the National Federation of the Blind. We do a lot in our local communities, but because of these lack of transportation options, we cannot be as productive as we would like to be. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next public witness is Lourdes Swinga.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Pastor Gloria Jones Swieringa. I am a member of Advocates for Community Transportation, and I'm here, of course, in support of the amazing work of ATU. I'm going to just add a personal complaint. I won't get any justice, but it's going to make me feel good to say it. Someone deserves a front row seat in the Hall of Shame for the 4 illegal suspensions I've had and for the fact that I spent the holiday season incarcerated by Metro Access' incompetent attempt to illegally separate me from my eligibility. That we'll leave that there. The other thing that I want to talk about is the egregious treatment of our drivers. Metro Access is not a private company. It's the public transportation system response to the Americans with Disabilities Act, which has been law since July 26, 1990, and it's high time that that company behaved as though it has to follow the law like every other entity in this nation. We should expect our drivers to at least have a living wage. I didn't vote for door-to-door because you weren't paying the drivers anything to do that. You can't fairly excuse putting stuff on their plate and then not paying them for the extra baggage. So get a living wage amendment on this table and vote it in so our drivers can be appreciated for the amazing work they do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next public witness is Tana White.
Hello. my name is Tana White. I'm a dispatcher at the Metro Access Operations Call Center. I come today to bring a suggestion on how my job could be better served for the riders and the drivers at the same time. Every day I take anywhere from 50 calls on a slow day to close to 200 calls on a busy day. From clients, their needs include questions about the status of their trips, cancellations of current trips, rebooking of missed trips, questions about fares, eligibility, or just general concerns or complaints, which could be anything or include all of the above. At the same time, I also are assisting drivers, which includes sending their trips to rangers, calling clients to announce arrivals, canceling unwanted trips, assisting with accidents, unruly clients, authorizing no pay slips for clients who do not have paid for their second trip, and giving directions to lost drivers when their rangers cannot locate a destination. Both tasks are essential. The only challenge with these both tasks are they occurring at exactly the same time. You might say impossible, but no, truly, that is what I do. The clients and the phone calls must come first, which frustrates drivers, dispatchers, and the clients when they hear drivers being put on hold by dispatchers because we have to answer the calls. What would be ideal is for both tasks to be done by separate departments. Both clients and drivers would get equal consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next public witness is Genoa Green.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Janelle Green. I'm a senior driver for Metro Access. I've been doing it almost 9 years. The reason that I'm here is to talk about the low wages. We have a lot of drivers like myself that has bills that's piling up. We're not getting paid for what we do as well as Pastor Swagger had announced it. We do an impossible and a tremendous job with our clients. One of the things that we have is a lot of single moms, single dads, as well as guardians for the low wages. We do, like I said, we do a tremendous job. Come crack of dawn to pick up our clients, collect fares, but we do need to have an increase in the wages. We cannot have our, basically we're in low wages for what we do, and we need to have more. We really do. The way the economy is now, we have car notes, insurance, mortgage. I have a kid in college now. So I'm speaking on behalf of myself as other drivers and other employees of Metro Asia Paratransit. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Tim Parks.
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity, first of all, to speak and express my comments. My name is Timothy Parks, as in Rosa Parks, no relation. I've come today to speak on the behalf of the those in the shadows, the ones that are not drivers, the ones that prepare the vehicles, the maintenance and the utility workers, the ones that never really get seen, but you knew it was there because the vehicle operated correctly, the van was clean, those clients that cannot properly contain their bowels, those guys that clean that stuff up, the dirty guys, the guys that get their hands in the mud. And I'm here to ask that the board looks and not only look at it, but in the Greek they say carpe diem, seize the moment and push the policy for the living wage to the front of the next board hearing. And that's my comment.
Thank you. Denise Rush.
Good Good afternoon. My name is Denise Rush. I am the vice chair of the AAC committee and the vice chair of the Metro Access committee. I am also the vice chair or president for the Slango Creek chapter of the National Federation for the Blind. Today I am speaking as a Metro Access client and customer. You're considering an alternative transportation system for Metro Access, so it will be easier and not so much on the Metro Access service. The RFI is being presented. Two things need to be considered. We must have phone service available. It's not required, but it needs to be. Everyone does not have a phone or adaptive system, and that is not making it available for everyone who has a disability. It must be available for everyone. Also, you're considering limited to 4 trips per day, when that was not considered with DC Transit. So it's not, it shouldn't be considered for the Maryland Metro Access users. I don't understand how that is happening, and I hope that it's reconsidered, the phones and the limit of the number of trips that someone will be able to take. Also, I would request or hope that someone else on the board, someone ride with people on Metro Access and be blindfolded and get around and know that we need door-to-door service on this alternative system also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And our last witness is Amy. And boy, it begins with a V, but I can't read the rest of it. Okay. That one I just can't read. Welcome.
Hello, I'm Amy Bruno. I work with the Industrial Areas Foundation organizations in this region that are named WIN. Councilmember Evans and Cleve Drumshaw, I'm sure you're aware. Action in Montgomery and Montgomery County, an organization in Northern Virginia called Voice, as well as several others throughout Maryland. We are here in solidarity with what you've heard, the agenda that you've heard from Metro Access and from the Amalgamated Transit Union. What we've done is they have listened to one another, riders and the people who operate the system, the workers, to come up with solutions, solutions around safety and solutions around justice. I believe that this is the path forward to improving WMATA for everybody in the region. We intend to organize. We represent 200 institutions in this region, primarily faith institutions, as well as approximately, definitely more than 100,000 families. We intend to listen to riders, listen to operators, and organize and bring forward solutions. So what you see today is the first of many solutions that we're going to bring forward. We hope that you all act around the living wage as well as the improvements for service. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. And that concludes our public comment. The next item on the agenda is the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Where is it? Over here. Yeah, there we are. Okay, good. All right, thank you very much. As you've heard this morning, there are lots of concerns about Metro Access, how it can be improved. Some of the elements that were discussed this morning are things that we can affect through the AAC, and some of them are issues that I guess are more contract issues regarding pay and wages. I would say that a lot of these topics have come up in front of the AAC in the past, and I would say that we are basically in solidarity with what you've heard this morning. There are 4 areas that I would like to talk about. First of all, with respect to the emergency gates, I understand from a meeting we had recently that the emergency gates have been unlocked. We appreciate that. We hope that we understand the fare evasion issue, but we hope that in the future that none of that will happen. We feel that it was a safety issue, and we appreciate the fact that the pilot is over, gates are unlocked, and the emergency gates are available now. We also understand what the issue is, and we're working with WMATA on a smart trip card that will enable Metro Access users to have access to the system. We understand that is involved with the fare access issues and that sort of thing, so it's something that we're very happy to be working with, and we say thank you for unlocking those emergency gates. Regarding the RFI, we understand that the RFI closed on the 18th. You've heard some discussion this morning regarding areas that the AAC and members of the public have put together suggestions concerning the request for information on an alternative paratransit, augmentative paratransit system, one of them being the amount of trips, 4 trips per day. We didn't feel that that was exactly fair, that we'd like to see that changed. We'd like to make sure that the ADA is followed with respect to any new system that comes on board. And I think Denise Rush just talked about having access through a phone system. Not everybody who can use Metro Access can use a smartphone. And so those, and also curb, door-to-door service as opposed to curb-to-curb. We know we have a lot of recommendations in the RFI. We're not sure that all of them can be implemented the first year. Maybe we can have them as optional tasks in the option year, or you know, just as the system comes on board. We're looking forward to the system. We think it has great potential, but we would like to see those things put forward. Regarding Metro Access and the shutdown that we had last week, I think that the way Metro Access fares are calculated right now, they're calculated on the fastest fare between bus and rail. There was no rail service last week, so I would ask that Metro Access customers be compensated for the fact that I think their fares might have been too high. And long term, we know that there are going to be more, possibly more shutdowns. That is why the AAC is on record as saying that we want to see a bus-only calculation for Metro Access, so that in the future we don't get penalized by a bus rail calculation on fare when only buses available. And lastly, the bus planning group came to our bus rail subcommittee last week, did an excellent job. Two things that they brought up. One had to deal with the snow removal program. I got a request from Maryland Department of Transportation to have someone from that committee available to talk to Prince George's and Montgomery County with their regional snow removal plans being studied, but they would also like to see what WMATA can do, what WMATA will do regional-wide. So I would make that request that we could have either Jack or someone from his staff to give that kind of presentation on the 22nd of April. It would be in Silver Spring. And then also he discussed the new information system that that is going to be put into the bus stops concerning bus availability and when they'll be available, and updates to that. That was very favorably accepted by the committee. We're very pleased with that. So I think we're showing some very good progress in several areas, and I'm very pleased about that. The last thing that I would say this morning is that regarding shutdowns in the future, I heard about it at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday that it was going to be in effect on Thursday. If we're going to have more shutdowns in the future, if we could push that back to maybe noontime or 11 o'clock in the morning, there were a lot of people that were impacted, I think, region-wise. I know that from the disability community, if you had to make Metro Access rides, you only had 30 minutes to do it since the cutoff time was 4:30. my report for today. Thank you very much. I appreciate your attention. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Sheehan? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much for your
report. Very good, thank you.
Next item on the agenda is a report by the Riders Advisory Council, Ms. Hermanson.
Hello there. Right after I was here last month for the board meeting, we had our first joint meeting of the year with both the RAC and the AAC and the executive committee. I think it's always great to have that first meeting because most of the board members and most of the RAC leadership were new to those positions. So it was good to have that face-to-face time. There was a long list of items for our work plan for the year, and that's in the packet you have, if you have it, page 9. We had a lot of topics that our committees have said they'd like to work on this year. These are things that we just want to understand better to start with, and we often rely on the staff, which we appreciate that they're doing that for us to educate us. It may or may not mean that there'll be a recommendation after that education. It's just those are the topics we want to look at. It's probably a longer list than we'll ever get to in this calendar year, but we're going to give it a try. Two things that we did talk about from that list, we made recommendations at that meeting. One is about the fare chain, the fares in the budget, and the other is about the Blue Line trains. What we reflected, what we said to the executive committee was basically what was reflected at the public hearing, and its sentiments agreed with by the RAC in general. It's just that we're happy about the fare freeze, we're happy about the 15-minute grace period, glad that the public input on the bus fare reloading was effective, it being pulled from the proposal. So generally very happy with that. As far as talking about the Blue Line, I'd like to clarify that what we're not doing is saying we're demanding that the Blue Line people get treated with the same lead, you know, a headway as the other lines. We know that's not realistic at this point. But we're just really saying that there are several options that we think could alleviate the crowding on the Blue Line. Because that also impacts the safety of using the Blue Line. I'm lucky, I'm a Blue Line person from Alexandria, but I have a situation where it works for me to take yellow. And so I have gotten in the habit of never taking the Blue Line because I know it's just going to be safer on the yellow. I was one of those people that got knocked down getting pushed onto a Blue Line train because of the crowding. One more thing about that. So it's not just for the better customer service. It has to do with the safety of that line. And so we're hoping that with everything that WMATA has learned in the last year about the numbers we have for how many people are on the average car for each line and just other things because of the ways we've had to accommodate different slowdowns because of the fires and so forth, that maybe there are some ways to look at the alternatives that we suggested as options. Maybe there's one of them that has some merit. Anyway, enough about that. We had several people from the RAC go to the emergency drill, the exercise at Eisenhower a couple weeks ago. I was one of them. We had three people from Virginia that were happy to be there to have the Alexandria first responders get an opportunity to see what happens with an emergency evacuation. I think we saw there's been an evolution of the procedures and processes, some streamlining that's occurred since the first one. They're all good things, lessons learned from the earlier ones. And as again, a representative of Alexandria, it was really good for me to see that the first responders in Alexandria were embracing the whole concept and learning what to do in case of that. The last thing I'd like to talk about is the McPherson incident on the 14th, or a follow-up to that, and the shutdown on Wednesday. I know that all of us wish there wasn't a need for a shutdown, but the consensus I've heard from some people is that if we do need it, it was a good thing to do. And we did need it, and it was a good thing to do. And on this, I am speaking not on behalf of the RAC, because we haven't had we haven't met since those incidents occurred, but I'm speaking for myself. A little bit about the rider's relationship with Metro. You know, whether you've heard about couples therapy and that couples are going to split up when there are more negative interactions than there are positive, substantially more negative and positive, or if you read Stephen Covey and he talks about emotional bank accounts, well, you know, the writers have a relationship with WMATA, and there's been an acknowledgement that this past year it wasn't the best relationship. And but I think with having no fare increase and the 15-minute grace period and having been listened to about the bus fare loading, and then Mr. Riefeld's visits to all the rider groups and the public and businesses, and his talking and truly listening, and then all of the strong communications during the snow, because of this last shutdown, I think there's real transparency that people are seeing, and it's just his other words of what he admits, what he describes, what he says. I think that there's a belief that there is much more transparency, and I don't know. I count on Lynn and Jason to tell me if the figures out there and their surveys and feedback are substantiating it, but I got to think it's on the way up. That bank account, that number of positive experiences to negative is changing, and I'd like to thank Mr. Riefeld, what he's brought to the organization, and all the people on the staff, whether they're inside this room or not, and the board support, because I really think it is going to make a difference. Thank you. Questions?
Any questions? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much for your report.
Thanks.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the report by the chair, so I would like to say good morning to everyone. And good morning. Good morning, everyone. And to start my remarks by thanking the region for its patience and support during last week's McPherson Square incident and the subsequent safety shutdown of the system on March 16th, following the electrical cable fire in the tunnel near McPherson Square and its similarity to the smoke incident at L'Enfant last year. Our general manager, with board support, took the unprecedented action in the name of safety by shutting down the entire Metro Rail system to inspect all 600 underground cables. Just as some background in light of some of the questions that were raised even today, when the general manager had information that there was a problem, he convened a conference call with many board members around 2 o'clock. The conference call lasted from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, at which time the decision was made to close the system, and the general manager and staff acted quickly to notify the public. That's why it happened later in the afternoon rather than earlier. Clearly, if we had had that information, we would have given people notice as early as possible. Under the circumstances, we did give people notice as early as we possibly could. Clearly, it was the right decision to make in light of what we found. And so, again, I want to thank the general manager, the board members, and mostly the general public who rides our system for their patience as we move forward to fix the Metro system. You know, sometimes in history there are seminal moments, and they're not planned, but they happen. And I believe that the shutdown was a seminal moment. It restored some confidence in Metro, and our goal, general manager and all our board members, are to restore confidence in the system with our riders. And moving forward, that's exactly what we're going to do. General manager and the board are going to do a thorough inspection of the system. We are going to do all the maintenance that has not been done. We are going to make this a safe system. We are going to continue to buy rail cars. We are going to continue to improve service and return Metro to the days when people referred to it as the shining example of regional cooperation, and it was the envy of transit systems across the country. One area that I am going to continue to hammer on, though, as your board chair, it's one of the biggest shortcomings, as I see it, that the region is not doing enough to support Metro. If and when not if, but when, we get Metro to run like a clock, that everything is working, that we are reliable, that we are safe, we will still not have anywhere near the resources we need to maintain this system. You've heard me say before that, roughly speaking, we need an investment of $25 billion in this system, whether it's over the next 10 years or 20 years, or whatever years you want. We need a huge investment. We are not doing everything we can to invest in the system and invest in the future. And I know it's never ideal, it's never an ideal time to ask for more money when you're not doing well. People don't believe we're spending our money wisely, so why would they give us more money? So we are going to show everyone that we are spending our money wisely and that we are running this system very well. And what it comes back to, you've heard me say it many times, as have other board members said the same thing, Metro needs a predictable, sustainable funding source. And this discussion cannot be put off any longer. When I first joined this board in 1992, we were having this discussion. It is 25 years later, and we're still talking about it. We've made no progress on a regional funding source for Metro 25 years later. That's just unconscionable. There's no excuse for it. And so, again, maybe the silver lining in what happened last week is it got everybody's attention that this system needs to be supported by the region, not only by the district, Virginia, and Maryland, but also by the federal government. And so we really need to make that happen. So I'm calling on the region's leaders to, again, focus on coming up with a solution. Metro needs a reliable funding source. Those are my kind of words for the day. What does they say on the radio? Not a sermon, just a thought. Now, I will move on with the administrative business. So next, I would like to move to the five appointments to the Riders Advisory Council, or RAC. We recently had five members resign prior to their RAC term expiration. Staff conducted extensive outreach in late 2015 to recruit members of the public to the Riders Advisory Council. In total, 499 applications were received and reviewed at the end of 2015. From these applications, a pool of potential candidates were selected to fill the positions throughout the year. Therefore, I move to approve the following slate of new RAC members. From the District of Columbia, Joseph Sue, Jamie Woodside, and Cisa Goford. From Virginia, Christine Madden, Jeffrey Ikoma. So I'd like to ask for a second to my motion.
Second.
Is there any discussion of the nominees? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Lastly, we have some business to address relating to committees and minutes. Pursuant to the WMATA Compact, the Board of Directors establishes its committees and membership on a yearly basis. As stated in the board procedures, this generally occurs at the February board meeting and may be adjusted at other times. Last month, during organization, the board realigned some of its committee focus areas, essentially creating new committees. When committee membership changes, the question of whether the committee can approve minutes created prior to the membership change is one of parliamentary procedure. The board's parliamentary authority is Robert's Rules of Order, newly revised. Section 48 of Robert's Rules states that when a committee membership has changed, quote, the executive board or a committee appointed for the purpose should be authorized to approve the minutes. When the change in membership is accompanied by a change in the committee's responsibilities, as is the case arising from last month's action to realign committees, the executive committee will serve this purpose and approve minutes. Therefore, in accordance with the board's bylaws, procedures, and Robert's rules, I move that the board of directors authorizes the executive committee to approve any minutes of a committee that the committee did not approve before its membership and responsibilities changed, and when the only change is to a committee's membership and not to its responsibilities, the new members of the committee retain authority to approve prior minutes. Is there a second? Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. That concludes my remarks. Thank you. And now we'll go to remarks by the general manager, Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I will keep my comments brief, but I did want to bring you up to date on my three priorities and some of the things that are going on, both in terms of safety, service liability, and fiscal management. In terms of safety, obviously the terrorist bombing in Brussels, since that tragic bombing earlier this week, we've been working very closely with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force and the TSA to share intelligence data, which is key to any preparation. We've increased our police presence throughout the system with officers. For example, we've moved all of our plainclothes police officers into uniforms into the system. As well, we canceled all training exercises to get as many people out there as possible. In addition, we have our 20 canine units throughout the system, deployed throughout the system. I also want to thank the local jurisdictions for stepping up. They have also deployed some of their personnel to our stations in their local jurisdictions, so we thank them. We've communicated with our frontline employees. Obviously, if they see anything out of the ordinary, to let us know immediately so that we can investigate it. And I just want to reaffirm that we expect the same from our customers. If they see anything out of the ordinary or anyone that's suspicious, please let us know so we just follow up and make sure there is nothing there. It is a statement that we hear often, but you know, if you see something, say something, and we really do mean it. In terms of last week's Metro Rail shutdown, as I talked some in the Safety Committee earlier, as a result of that, there's three actions that I've taken. First, we're doing a thorough review of what actions were or were not taken as a result of the fire occurrence last year at La Fon Plaza. The basic question that I want answered is how did this occur in 14 months later, basically, is what I want to know. Second, we are conducting a complete review of the McPherson event last Monday. Specifically there, I want to know what caused and did we apply the lessons learned from the La Fon Plaza event, which occurred last year at the McPherson Square event, particularly in terms of the how it was handled by the ROC and the emergency responders, because there were obviously lessons learned from 14 months ago there. And finally, and most importantly, is focusing on how we go forward and how do we not have a repeat of this by making sure that the inspections are adequate and ongoing and just totally rethought of, because apparently they did not work to get us to the point that we're at. These efforts are being conducted not only internally by the operations side, but with external resources, but also by my safety office. And as you recall, about 2 weeks ago when I did my reorganization, I set up a separate unit that has independent authority in terms of auditing and compliance office, and they are reporting directly to me on what their findings are as well. And those are all underway. There's still many questions to be answered, the same ones you have that are the ones that I have. We will get to the bottom of all those answers, and we will be very transparent in what they find. And we'll be putting that on our customer accountability report that is online as well. Finally, I did want to thank Ms. Hermanson for participating in the emergency drill the weekend before. Unfortunately, I couldn't say hi to you because I'm not allowed to because you're a player, but thank you so much for taking your time and for all the volunteers that do that. I appreciate that. And I really do. I think we stepped up quite a bit in just the 3 months I've been here from the first exercise. It was one of the things that I did not like the first exercise I went to is we staged everything right there at the event. I said, no, that's not real. You know, get stage them somewhere else, have them come to the event. So, you know, it reflects some of the things you deal with in just setting up. It's unbelievable what occurs when equipment starts coming to an event versus if they're all just staged there and just sort of turn on a button, they play the role. It's totally different. So anyway, that was very good. In terms of service reliability, I have established weekly rail service delivery meetings with three major teams that we've set up, strike teams. One deals with rail car availability and reliability. The other deals with track quality, and the third deals with customer service. So a lot of those things were presented in the customer accountability report, so we will start to feed that, update what we're doing in those terms. Just as an example, the 7,000 series, we now have 112 on property. We will have 96 have been accepted and will be in the system starting next week. So that, again, we're moving along very well there. We've also got 11 elevator projects are scheduled to be rehabbed this year. Two have already been completed, including one at Elevator Fort Totten that was completed ahead of schedule just last week. And additionally, two escalators have been replaced ahead of schedule this year at Van Ness and Georgia Avenue. One other thing, this is relatively minor, but I think it does get sort of to the core of some of the issues that we hear from customers. One of the things I always do whenever I go to a station is ask the station manager, if there's anything I can do for them, you know, from their perspective. And I was at Farragut North recently, and the station manager said to me, do you know where the elevator is here? And I said, no, to be honest with you, I don't. And he says, well, if you got a minute, I'll show you. So we walked upstairs, outside, and up Connecticut Avenue, and in an alcove next to the CVS, there is an elevator. You would know it, but there's no signage. There's a signage over the door that says elevator, but you would not know it. He had dealt with a customer, unfortunately, that was stuck in the rain and was trying to find that elevator and couldn't find it, and eventually did. So he asked, you know, again, this is something that, you know, we'd like to have done. So we did that right away. In follow-up to that, I sent a note out to all of our station managers asking them for thoughts that they had that we could improve in a six-week time period. So I get it, there's lots of things to do, but, you know, give me things that we can just knock down that, you know, that are bugging them, that they see from their perspective or from a customer's perspective. So we'll be putting that on the customer accountability report. And again, it's you know, coming at this from all different directions. Clearly the major ones we have to deal with, but we can't lose sight of just the basics that customers experience every day. So this is another effort to do that. In terms of financial management, I am pleased to advise the board that just this week we received from the FTA approval of the fiscal year 17 capital improvement program with slight modifications. There were two projects that they feel that were not purely safety related, that they feel we should use other funds for those, and that the federal funds, they dealt with station cleaning and with fair collection system. They're not taking the dollars away. In effect, they're moving it towards safety related issues. So we'll be, as we come to the board next month, that'll be presented to you in more detail. But I did want to let you know that actually is very good news that they have approved that budget. Additionally, we also got a letter from FTA that they closed two of the additional testing and validation items as part of the FMO process. So that's good. We have a few open still, but that's, again, getting us closer to the restoring the ECHO privileges in the accounting system that we have with FTA. So that's very good. Also, starting next week under the customer accountability report, we'll be putting online the FMO tracker report, in effect, showing where we are on all of those things that are outstanding so people can monitor where we are on those. And then finally, we have started the auditing process for 16. We have a team in place. I've been meeting weekly with them on that. The RSM, which is the auditor that's coming in, they will be here in force starting March 31st as they start to kick off that auditing process in terms of meeting the audit deadline of October. So that is underway. And with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you, and that concludes my remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions for the general manager? Anyone? Okay, thank you very much. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Capital Program, Procurement, and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Price.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I have for your consideration and subsequent approval of the warehouse acquisition that the staff is seeking. The warehouse is located at 10201 Redlock Road, Atlanta, Maryland. This will allow consolidation from short-term leases that we're currently have. That makes food financial sense, logistical, and operational. So I seek your approval at this point in time.
Okay, the motion's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Anything further, Mr. Price?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Report by the Finance Committee, Mr. Goldman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There's following two actions were referred to the board at the March 10th, 2016 meeting of the Finance Committee. First, a one-year extension of the capital funding agreement. Staff seeks the board's authorization for the general manager, chief executive officer, enter into a one-year extension of the current capital funding agreement among WMATA and the contributing jurisdictions to support WMATA's capital program for fiscal year 2017. I move approval.
Is there a second? Second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. The second item is approval of the FY 2017 operating budget. Staff seeks approval of the updated FY 2017 operating budget that begins July 1st. The operating budget maintains current fares and services to repeat no fare increase, while requiring no increase in overall jurisdictional operating subsidies. This budget also includes a number of customer-friendly initiatives, such as adding a free bus pass to existing rail passes, creating a discounted student pass for participating university students, and providing a grace period to allow customers to enter and exit the same station within 15 minutes without being charged. I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Anything further, Mr. Goldman?
No, that completes our work for this month.
All right, thank you very much. The report by the Customer Service, Security, and Planning Committee, Mr. Goni.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The following action was just this morning referred to the board from the Customer Service, Security, and Planning Committee. The first item is the Grosvenor Strathmore Arts Walk Initiative. Staff sought board's approval to enter into a five-year loan of selected artworks for the Metro Art Walk at the Grosvenor Strathmore Metro Station. These 48 artworks, which were selected by a community art review panel, were created by Montgomery County Public School students. The Strathmore Hall Foundation will fund the fabrication, installation, and maintenance of the artworks along with the removal at the end of the five-year loan term. I would like to now move approval of this action.
Okay, motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Goni.
Thank you. The second item is the NOMA Brentwood Rail Yard Mural Festival Program. Staff sought approval of a temporary, annually recurring public mural art project for placement on the public-facing retaining wall, which is about 900 feet long at the Brentwood Yard Metro facility, which is very near the NOMA neighborhood of Washington, D.C., and that this public mural art project will be part of a citywide two-week art festival focused on murals that the District of Columbia is supporting. I'd like to move board approval of this program.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. The board, we have one item for the consent agenda. The board is being asked to approve the following item as part of its consent agenda, the waiver of fares and fees and clarifying tariff language. Board approval is sought for the waiver of rail fares on March 14th, 2016, as well as the waiver of parking fees on March 16th, 2016, that resulted from the recent service disruption on the blue, orange, silver lines. This action will also clarify the WMATA tariff language regarding temporary fare reductions, will allow for the waiver of fares during emergency events, and delegates this authority to the general manager and the CEO, general manager, CEO. If I move approval, is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer an amendment.
Yes, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. I'd like to move to delete from the resolution the last whereas paragraph and the next to last resolve paragraph. The point of this amendment is not to undercut the resolution's rebate for last Monday in terms of fares or Wednesday in terms of parking. And it's not to undermine the policy, but I think that as we go forward, it's probably worthwhile to return to the regular order and have the policy and what its ramifications going forward a matter to be dealt with by the appropriate committee and where discussion can ensue and then a recommendation come forward to the full board.
Okay, and that's an amendment you're making?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is there a second to Mr. Goldman's amendment? I'll second it. Is there any discussion? Discussion? Okay, seeing none, well, this is a vote on Mr. Goldman's amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The aye. There's a no? Okay, one no. Everybody, yes, there's, what is there? So 7-1, I guess it is, right? Or I don't know who's here and who's not here. Okay, the amendment, it passes. Now we're voting on the full amendment that's before us. Is there any discussion on the full amendment as amended?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The recommendation that we just approved, this will go back to the body for further consideration.
I'm sorry?
The prior vote, I would hope that we would consider the parking fee in both of those days. We're looking at the policy, and I think we're looking at the fare impacted by the rider. And the fare is comprehensively always recognized as both parking and rail in or bus. So as it goes back, I would hope that that would be the consideration that comes back.
Okay, I think that's fair. Good. All right, any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Mr. Goldman?
Yeah, just to be clear, what we're voting now is to approve the rebate of fares from last Monday, as well as the rebate of parking from last Wednesday. So those are the things that we're going forward on tonight. I just want to make that clear from the point of view of the what the resolution does today.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Mr. Goldman, is that what your amendment does?
Your amendment? I want to clarify your amendment.
Yeah.
To impact, to make sure that the impact that is on those riders that began and end their trip is included in the waiver as well as the overall.
Yeah, I'm not clear what you're asking me. The amendment, if you're asking me whether I would accept as a friendly amendment that the issue you're proposing be included in what should be referred to the appropriate committee, I have no objection to that. That's fine. If that's your, that's the intent of your.
Okay. Okay, we'll make sure that's included. Okay, anything further? All right, all in favor of the resolution, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Okay, now we'll have reports by the various jurisdictions. The District of Columbia, I have no report. WSTC, Ms. Harley? No report. NVTC, Mr. Corcoran?
No report.
No report. And the federal government, Mr. Downey? No report. Okay, very good. I want to thank everybody for the board meeting today, and with that, the meeting's adjourned. Hello.